Mary's song, the Magnificat, the song of the angels' announcement to the shepherds, Simeon's song of praise in the temple, the Issues, Etc. book of the month is titled The Songs of Christmas. This new arch book would make a great Christmas gift for children ages 2 through 10. The Songs of Christmas is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. A great stocking stuffer for young children or grandchildren, The Songs of Christmas.
My wife came to me and said, you know, I've got a terrible disease. I want suicide. I would say, absolutely not. You cannot take away from me, A, your presence, and B, my loving privilege to care for you for as long as you live.
The church looks like this grotesque old lady with hair grown out of her face, and we want her to be this gorgeous porn star. There is no way to turn grandma into a porn star, and we shouldn't want to.
The scripture is not a book about me. It's not an instruction book for my life.
Former evangelicals on track to be Lutheran pastors by attending Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Love, Issues, Etc.
You would think that with all of the victories claimed by feminism, all the progress for which feminism claims credit, all of the advances that they say that have been made by feminism, by this movement, you would think that by this time, here well into the 21st century, with at least 50, 60, maybe even 100 years of third wave feminism under our belt, that the feminists wouldn't be so thin-skinned, so easily offended, sometimes even by the slightest thing. But lately we've been watching, at least online, but also in the popular media, kind of a frenzy of feminist bullying. If the slightest offense is even perceived, suddenly social media and the media, complicit in it as well, will take you apart and demand an apology. And boy, feminists have been getting a lot of apologies lately, haven't they? Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, senior editor at The Federalist, about feminist bullying here for the first few minutes. A little bit later in this hour, Pastor Tom Baker will join us. We'll teach a Sunday school lesson, Jacob and Esau in Genesis chapter 27. You can join us for the next hour with questions or comments, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or for our beloved on-demand listeners, you can always use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about feminist bullies and how to respond, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway. She's a regular guest, senior editor at The Federalist, and author of a recent column titled, It's Time to Push Back Against the Feminist Bullies. Molly, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's great to be here with you.
What is feminist bullying, and why do you say that to stand up against it is actually good for women?
Yeah, well, what we've seen recently is a bunch of feminists getting together in sort of online mobs and forcing apologies from people. So Time Magazine ran this cheeky poll about which words should be banned because they're overused or they're misused. And one of the words they had in the poll was feminist, and it was winning by a wide margin. You know, other options were bossy and the word bae that's been getting a lot of use recently. And feminists were outraged, and they forced the managing editor of Time to apologize and stop running the poll. And then last week, when that amazing scientist, Matt Taylor, landed, you know, a literal spaceship on a comet that was hurtling through space at 135,000 kilometers per hour, and miles per hour? And this all happened, and he was talking about it while wearing a shirt which showed some scantily clad women on. It was sort of an artistic shirt that a friend of his had made. People freaked out and forced him to give a tearful apology before he updated us on the spaceship that was on a comet. I mean, it's just gotten so ridiculous that there's all this outrage. And if you complain about it, they say, oh, you want me dead. No, I just don't want you to complain so much about what scientists are wearing. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi was asked if she had given any thought to stepping down because she had overseen a bunch of losses. And she said, you would never ask a man that. Well, that's laughable. Of course you'd ask a man that. So all these things are happening. I think we actually need to just start standing up to the bullying and saying, this is inappropriate behavior. You're forcing people to apologize for minor offenses. You're behaving, you know, with incivility, and we have to stop it. And one of the reasons we have to stop it is because it really hurts the image of women. I mean, the way that feminists are constantly portraying women as these victims who can't handle some dude wearing a shirt makes us seem like we're idiots and that we are weaklings who don't know how to navigate our way through life. That's not true. We're actually quite strong, and we need to make sure that the image that feminists project about women, that we're, you know, constantly aggrieved and we're weak, that that doesn't become the dominant image in media, because that hurts those of us, the vast majority of us, that don't identify as feminists.
What does it say about the, I mean, just to kind of look at it neutrally, the progress of feminism, that here at the point where they are able to kind of legitimately claim a lot of victories, especially given, you know, over the last 45, 50 years, a lot of the things they dreamt of 50 years ago have become realities and more. What does it say about them that they are, at least the more vocal radical feminists, are more sensitive than they ever have been to any kind of perceived public slight?
Right. Well, there's that saying that people say that feminism is simply the radical notion that women are people. And if that were true, then we would be talking very differently about what feminism has done that's good and what feminism has done that's bad. You know, these types of outrage tours over shirts are not about the idea that men and women are equal. They're about, you know, something might be more about how people are getting a very bad college education and are thinking that the world revolves around themselves. But certainly the fact that feminists are so obsessed with banning words and controlling speech and telling people what to wear is probably a good indication that all of the real gains that needed to be made in terms of women's treatment in society were made long ago. On the other hand, I am a little upset that that feminists in America are so focused on these, you know, silly things like what a guy in a different country is wearing, instead of about the fact that there are women in other countries who are killed for converting to Christianity, for instance, or there are women who receive punishment when they are raped, as if it was their fault, that there are women who are on vacation in different countries. I mean, there are serious problems throughout the world. Yes, this guy was in the world wearing a shirt you didn't like. Big deal compared to the actual problems that some women throughout the world face right now at this moment.
So it's a total lack of any sense of proportion.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are problems built into feminism that mean that we're going to face some of these constant obsessive whining about, you know, policing people's speech and policing people's every little decision they make and every little thing they say. Part of that is kind of cooked into feminist ideology. But I think a lot of people who are more reasonable and still identify as feminist would say, we have certainly lost all sense of proportion. We have lost the perspective here. You know, when a guy lands a spaceship on a comet, the list of things that you should be talking about should really not include what he is wearing. And, you know, even just the double standards involved, that feminists, you know, across the country and even throughout the world are doing these things like slut walks, where they dress inappropriately and march around town to make the point that no one deserves to be raped no matter what they're wearing, you know, and we've long gotten past the idea that, oh, you know, she was asking for it because she was wearing a short skirt. But now we're supposed to believe that this guy was asking for his harassment because he was wearing the wrong clothes, or that it's okay to dress a certain way, but if you depict that on a shirt, then that's a problem. I mean, this is insanity. It doesn't make sense. It's confusing. Nobody knows how to operate in this environment. And while normally I would say that you should apologize if you cause offense for some legitimate grievance, we've gotten to the point where people are so constantly outraged about such minor stuff that, you know, apologizing actually isn't good for society. It's, you know, you need, when people are forcing apologies every 15 seconds for some minor thing, you've got to stop it. And I think we need to stop apologizing for every minor grievance.
Instead of apologizing, what should we be doing?
Well, I think people should point back to how feminists should have legitimate grievances that they should be talking about, that they shouldn't take offense at everything, that the world doesn't revolve around their feelings, that there are more important things. They're just kind of reminding people not to behave this way. I think those of us who are not the targets of these outrage machines should defend those who are. I think it would be very hard. You know, here you are, a scientist on the best day of your life. You just did some amazing accomplishment that benefits all of humanity, and all of a sudden you're subjected to a bunch of media outlets asking you about your shirt. You know, the rest of us should kind of come to that person's defense. We just need to stand up and be counted. Just a lot of us just lay low because we see the insanity of what's going on in social media, and we just think, I don't want to be involved. But we actually do need to be involved. It's no different than a bully on the playground that you see picking on someone. Sometimes you just have to stand up, even if you don't want to, and say, you got to stop stealing that person's lunch money or whatever the thing is. That's how we serve our neighbor. And it also benefits the bully as well, because they might not know. They might have been in a college environment where they were encouraged to behave this way, or they might be surrounded by people who tell them that it's okay to behave this way. So the rest of us need to explain why it's inappropriate and why it's harming civil society. And, you know, we don't need to be mean about it or anything, but we just need to stand up and say it's time to act like adults, because we are adults.
You have referenced several times kind of the college university environment where kind of training grounds for younger feminists. What are your concerns there about what women are being taught in the average college or university?
Well, mostly I'm concerned about what people aren't being taught in the average college or university. You're not getting an actual liberal arts education where you're acquiring knowledge and learning, you know, how to integrate it and how to apply it to the benefit of humanity. Instead, we see a lot of obsession about sex in ways that are, I think, harmful to the flourishing of civil society and just relationships between humans. And there's a lot of silliness. People are being taught to that their emotions are the most important thing when confronted with the outside realm. That's not actually true. And we have not been teaching people principled approaches to engaging with our fellow. You know, you see the damage caused by when these people get out of college and they think that their emotions should dictate what everybody else gets to do and what they don't get to do. And the more we have, the more we spread immorality, the more that's going to be a problem, because normal social norms associated with proper behavior and respect for each other have been obliterated, by feminism and other ideologies that see social institutions as the enemy. So it's only going to get worse if these ideologies keep getting perpetuated in college environments.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is our guest. We're talking about feminist bullies on this Monday afternoon, November the 17th. A few more minutes with her on the other side of the break when we come back. I wonder if the general media has caught on to kind of the thin-skinned nature of modern feminism. Is there a boy that cried wolf quality to all of this? We'll get her thoughts on that right after this break. She's senior editor at The Federalist and author of a recent column titled It's Time to Push Back Against the Feminist Bullies. After our conversation with Molly comes to an end, Pastor Tom Baker will join us on this Monday afternoon. We'll teach a Sunday school lesson, Jacob and Esau in Genesis chapter 27. Stay tuned.
The church's music from the 2nd century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The 6th century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. the best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
At Zion Lutheran Church, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, we've adopted the motto, A Changeless Christ for a Changing World. While many congregations try to market a message that appeals to what a changing world wants, we continue to give a constantly changing world what it needs. A changeless Christ in word and sacraments like the church has done for 2,000 years. If you're in Chippewa Falls and would like to have the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation that Jesus won on the cross and delivers today in His church, please join us poor, miserable sinners. For more information, visit cfzionlutheran.com.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran Thought, Lutheran Substance, Lutheran Music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is our guest. She's senior editor at The Federalist. We're talking about feminist bullies. A few more minutes with her, then Pastor Tom Baker joins us to teach a Sunday school lesson. We'll be in Genesis chapter 27, Jacob and Esau. Molly, do you think that the general media have caught on to this? Is there a quality, even write about it a little bit, is there a quality of the boy that cried wolf?
Well, I don't think actually that the media are catching on here. I think the media are a major part of the problem. You know, very few people identify as feminist. 80% of Americans do not identify as feminist. But feminism is sort of the default position for talking about these issues in our mainstream media. And a lot of the outrage was stoked by media outlets. And these aren't just fringe outlets like, you know, the Vox outlets or whatnot. This is also including places like the Washington Post. I mean, one person at the Post completely freaked out over the shirt the scientist was wearing. And when people criticized her, she wrote a piece said, "Scientist apologizes for his sexist shirt, but the internet still wants women to shut up and die." Now, that is exactly what I'm talking about with feminist bullying. It's making up stories. I mean, she didn't substantiate her claim that anybody wanted her to shut up or die. Because people were simply critiquing what she'd done with regard to the man wearing the shirt. But they sort of make these claims. Any criticism is claimed as a death threat. And they use it to sort of shut people up and make it impossible to have these types of conversations. And that's the Washington Post. I mean, that's supposedly one of the legitimate media outlets that we're dealing with. So if you're getting it there, you're getting it throughout the media. And people are capitalizing on outrages so that they can get more page views and readers and whatnot. And it's bad.
So with that said, what role do you think social media plays in both the bullying and the complicity of the media in the bullying?
Well, I think I'm a big fan of social media, and I love being on it, and I think it's a great way to share information, but it can also amplify a tiny mob into something that seems a lot bigger than it is. A lot of people on the internet have time to spare in obsessively focusing on minor issues and grievances, and normal healthy people don't. And so as the outrage machine ramps up, normal people have a weak position for fighting it. But the media knows to capitalize on those outrage mobs, again, for page views and clicks and whatnot. And if we don't want it to completely destroy society, I mean, we literally hit the point where a scientist who landed a spaceship on a comet was apologizing for what he wore. And I'm not even defending what he wore. I did not think it was the most ideal shirt myself. But we've gotten to such a place of insanity that I'm hoping that the normal people just start standing up and saying, you got to calm down. You've got to focus on more important things. You know, let's work together here and stop being constantly outraged.
Why do you think, you said, you know, 80% of those surveyed do not identify as feminists. Why do you think only 20% do?
I think because feminism is largely about telling women that we are victims, and I don't think that message is terribly appealing to typical women. I think that we certainly have challenges, and life is hard, and there are all sorts of problems out there. But we know that most of our relationships are good for us, and that the way to approach challenges is not to claim victimhood status, but to take some control and responsibility over situations and work to make things better. The victimization mentality of feminism has been going on for an extremely long period of time. So it's not just that this is a recent wave. This is something we've been dealing with for decades. And women aren't stupid. Men aren't stupid. And we look at it and we say, you know what? We do believe in equality of men and women, but we don't buy into the entire feminist victimhood approach. We don't think that's healthy.
Well, so are you saying they're essentially that if feminists knew what was good for their movement, they'd switch out of victim mode? I mean, not only is it tiresome, it's simply not true anymore.
It would be good for them in the sense that if they were to acknowledge reality more, I think that it would probably be bad for the feminist movement. I think that feminism thrives on grievances, and it requires grievances in order to perpetuate itself. And so I don't see it changing because admitting victory or whatnot would render it less effective. But on the other hand, yes, of course, it would be savvy to not have made the term so toxic. I mean, many people just look at the term feminist and they associate it with all sorts of negative adjectives. And it certainly would have been better if feminism had dealt with that problem more aggressively.
Finally, then, do you think that feminism has, if it ever had one, at least in the last decade or so, lost its sense of humor? It has an inability or takes itself too seriously?
I'm not entirely sure that feminism ever had a sense of humor. I mean, I think the jokes about how many feminists does it take to change a light bulb, answer, that's not funny. I mean, that's a very old joke that speaks to the lack of humor and fun in feminism. And I don't know if there's any particular moment, because there are so many moments of feminist history that were about shouting down the patriarchy and protest movements and sort of a pride and anger that some women felt about the way they'd been treated. And things haven't gotten better through the decades. I mean, I do think there was a big, I think a lot of people noticed, for instance, that when President Bill Clinton was credibly accused of sexual assaults and whatnot, that feminists rushed to his defense on the grounds that he had helped with abortion rights. I think when you see that kind of hypocrisy, it makes it really hard to align yourself with that kind of movement.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is senior editor at The Federalist, and she's author of a recent column titled, It's Time to Push Back Against the Feminist Bullies. You can read it at our website, issueztc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Molly, thanks for your time.
Thank you.